This is KTOO Public Media's Juno Afternoon on Thursday, August 29th, 2019, and we're right at the bottom of the hour. Joining me now on the show is KXLL Arts and Culture and Music producer Annie Bartholomew. Welcome to the show, Annie.
Thanks so much, Scott.
It's good to have you here. The news is out, Annie. You are going to be leaving public media here pretty soon after 10 years working here at the station. And just a big thanks. And thank you so much for all that you've done for public media.
Oh, man. Thanks so much, Scott. And I'm sure I won't be too far away. There's plenty of membership drives and special events and opportunities to get back in this building.
Once a volunteer in public media, forever.
Forever.
Life, right?
Yeah.
Voluntold what to do. take us back. How old were you when you started here?
I was 16. Andy Klein invited me to have a show after I gave him a bunch of very obscure but good requests. And yeah, I just brought in my like CD collection. And he's like, what if you guys had a show? So me and my best friend Kayla got a radio show on KXLL. We were just announcing tunes first. And then eventually they let us go live and choose the music. And that was quite a trip.
What were the kind of things you were spinning as a teenager?
Oh, I was like in love with 60s music. Like the Monterey Pop Festival documentary happened. And I just, all of it, all the 60s music.
Did you find that, was that common for you and your fellow musicians in high school, or were you kind of unique?
I was kind of a nerd. I was a student government nerd, so I didn't have a lot of cool band friends. So we got to be in a studio and pretend we were cool one night a week and share our favorite tunes.
All right. Among the things I appreciate about you is how much you do love music. And you're constantly going to conferences and trainings and different festivals around the country. I'm trying to think about sort of the future of music, you know, with things like Spotify and we have public radio. And I'm sorry, this is kind of a big question. I wasn't sure where it was going. But where do you see the future of music and radio going?
I feel like music is going to be made great. Music's going to be made. It's going to be a little bit homogenous if you look at pop music and the people who make a lot of money and get really famous from it. But I truly believe the people who are going to keep doing it are the ones who are in love with it and can't stop making it and will do anything to keep it going. I think that's the energy of the Alaska Folk Festival, and I think that's where it's going to go. Fewer people are going to make a strict living off of just music, but great art is going to happen.
Okay. I sort of fast-forwarded to music. Another half of your job beyond programming the music for KXLL was as an arts, culture, and music producer. And you've had a chance to do many stories over the years. What is it about NPR-style reporting that you liked?
I think it's like being in your car, talking to that one human, being the listener on one end or the storyteller on the other, and just the exciting places you can take people. I feel like my beat here at K2O has kind of been the nightlife, LGBTQ community, music, kind of the art that my mom might not be participating in because it happens after 11 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock sometimes. So that's where I like to take stories and like to take people, really.
Here is one of your great stories here I have queued up for our listeners to get a taste of. Maude Carousel brings Boylesque world premiere to Juno. Is there anything you want to do to give them a setup for this?
Oh, you know, Seneca Harper's been coming to Juno for a long time. They come up and debut work all the time, and I really just wanted to do a story that kind of captures what that is for an Alaskan audience. They went up north to debut the show, and folks in Anchorage may not have seen them before. So this was a statewide story, you know, and I love using music here.
All right. And back in July of this year, is that
no,
right?
No, I think it was two summers ago.
Okay.
I actually mixed it on an airplane to go to a training in New York for radio.
All right. And then you'll also hear the voice of KTOO's Jeremy Shea setting it up. Here we go.
Residents were recently treated to the world premiere of a dance production, but it wasn't your grandmother's cabaret. The style is called Boylesque, where men perform sultry roles in a genre pioneered by women. One of the founding members of the troupe, called Mod Carousel, is from Juneau and has made a point to bring his art back to his home city. KTOO's Annie Bartholomew has more.
Under purple, ethereal light, a figure slinks around a folding chair. Cloaked in black sheer fabric, the body floats across stage, personifying the angel of death and blurring the lines of gender expression. Then, he starts peeling away layers of clothing. It's part of Mod Carousel's newest show, Gilded, which is making its world premiere in Alaska. For 8 years, Seneca Harper has brought boylesque, that's men performing burlesque, back to his hometown of Juneau.
Growing up here is really wonderful and it's really interesting, but I also felt like there was a lot of culture missing that I knew existed somewhere but didn't know where it was and felt like I needed to leave Juneau to be part of that.
He was first introduced to boylesque in Seattle, where he found his conspirators and future husband.
Coming back, I feel like I went out in the world, discovered a little gem, and then I'm kind of bringing it home, saying, here, look at this for a little while, and people seem to really enjoy that.
The group travels with more than 300 pounds of luggage, costumes, and props. Most are custom sewn by Harper's husband, Paris Original. Since forming their collective in 2010, they've held residencies in London and Australia, garnered 5 million YouTube hits, and performed in more than 50 countries. Burlesque has a long history as a medium for political satire, parody, and social commentary, inspired by Lydia Thompson and the British Blondes, who first brought Victorian burlesque to America in the 1860s. In their newest show, Gilded, the group explores themes of gender expression, race, and ethnicity, all in the classical burlesque format. A performer enters the stage, establishes a storyline and character through dance and physical movement, eventually shedding layers of clothing to reveal some kind of moral. It's almost always comedic. Even though the guys are taking their clothes off, they distinguish their work from strippers like Chip and Dale's and Magic Mike. Trojan Original says their audiences are diverse.
I think a healthy amount of our audience thinks it's going to be a strip show, and then they're pleasantly surprised, and then the other half thinks it's definitely not going to be a strip show, and then they're also pleasantly surprised. So at the end of the day, everyone's pleasantly surprised.
Harper says the difference between burlesque and stripping is the intent and artistry behind these routines. Stripping seeks to arouse the audience and is mostly about what the performer looks like underneath their clothes. In burlesque, there are no limitations on body type. Performers serve to engage the audience psychologically through humor, costumes, and clever reveals. Dancer Moscato Extatique says for members of Mod Carousel who grew up in the ballet tradition, burlesque offers an alternative to the rigid gender roles assigned to males.
Men have a very specific place in dance. I mean, especially in the classical world where you're presenting the woman and you're being the strong masculine prince. And Paris and I are not that man in burlesque. So burlesque is that place for us to be as effeminate or masculine as we want.
Harper says he's always felt somewhere in between gender-wise. And as his persona, the luminous pariah, he gets to present that on stage.
When it comes down to at the end of the road, do I have to be a lumberjack or do I have to be a princess?
He says with boylesque, he can be both at the same time, and that's both liberating and gratifying. In Juneau, I'm Annie Bartholomew.
This is Scott Burton with KTOO Public Media's Juneau Afternoon, and I'm in the studio right now with Annie Bartholomew. What was it about that piece that you liked the most, Annie?
Oh, just music as a character and using it to divide up a lot of the ideas. I love music, but also those guys are so funny. And I was so serious when I recorded that. Listening back to your pieces, it's always, you know, you're your own best critic, but I'm still really proud of that one. At the time, it felt like those ideas were really radical and new, but now I just feel like they're more commonplace. People can be whatever they want to be, lumberjack or princess.
So that's a great example of some of the work that you've done here. You're also a musician. Tell us a little bit about the kind of music that you like to play.
I'd say I'm kind of in the pocket of folk or Americana kind of music. Kind of been part of the Alaska Folk Festival probably as long as I've been involved in radio. And right now I'm doing a historical songwriting project based off of narratives of women during the Klondike Gold Rush. So just doing – it's a lot of reading.
And this is Sisters of the White Chapel, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. White Chapel was one of the names of red light districts, and I found it on a postcard image from Dawson City. And this spring I got to go there for this residency with the UConn Arts Center to learn more about that history and write some songs in a timber frame cabin. KTO generously let me go for a whole month and really got to check out Canada and that whole side of it.
Take us back to what originally inspired you to do this.
Ooh, well, during and down, one of my favorite bands in the world was going to Skagway to play a show. And while I was there, Taylor Vidic, who's one of my friends and artists, invited me to do this tour at the Red Onion Saloon, which is a historic brothel, and they have a museum there. And just going up the stairs and looking at all these objects, a lot of them they found under the floor when they renovated, things that women had hidden because Skagway was such an unsafe place to be. Back in the day, the White Pass would get really snowy and people couldn't travel up there. And Soapy Smith and his gang kind of ruled the town. He was kind of a terrorist. So I was just really haunted by a lot of the objects there. And then I started reading the books and became more haunted by it and just felt like music would be a really fabulous way to present this and share these stories and keep them from being forgotten.
All right. We have a tune here of yours that's part of that project. Can you set us up for it?
Yeah. This one is based off a newspaper article from, I think, the Klondike Nugget about a woman who loses her provisions on her way to Dawson City and her way to survive.
We were UConn bound, mile 30, she underground. Dawson City, no work to be found, only trouble and gold by the pound. I'm gonna lie, gonna cheat, gonna steal. I'm gonna fake all the things I can't feel. And when I meet my savior, honey, I will kneel and work this room till I get a better deal.